Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Today's episode is going to be full of newsy updates and tidbits. We are going to talk about some things we've talked about in recent episodes where we have some updates. And also, I have a few things I'm going to spring on Jesse that he does not know about that have been some topics on Instagram that I haven't asked you about, Jesse, that I'm really curious to get your take on. And we're also going to talk about your big 44th birthday and do some reflecting because the people of Instagram had some questions that they wondered if we would dig into more on the podcast. We're going to talk about unplugging. We're going to talk about some updates with Inside Tracker from last week and also a book that I just got at the library that I have been waiting for months to read that I am so excited about. Okay. First off, Jesse, I have a question for you. I need to know, and I've never asked you this question. I have known you since I was 9 years old, and I am now almost 43. Okay, this is very important. Growing up, did you guys recycle your birthday candles? Like, did you save them and reuse them?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, that's perfect. That's what I would have guessed, but I just needed to know this because I posted this meme on Instagram and it was from someone else. It said, growing up, did your family recycle birthday cake candles by using them and then keeping them for the next birthday, or were you rich? And it sparked, see what I did there? A really...
That's only if they're the candles that don't extinguish when you blow on them. Will they spark?
Oh my goodness. Spark and fire. Okay. Anyway, it sparked this discussion that just kind of took off like wildfire. But it was so fascinating because
that would be my birthday candle this year would be the wildfire.
Wildfire. Yeah. Yes. There were a lot of candles. Because so many people were like, yeah, of course, we have the birthday candle tin that we just would put them back. I mean, I can't imagine you just...
I was trying to remember, though, how we would do it if we did, if we put them back in the original container, or I'm 44, so my memory is not quite as good as it used to be.
I feel like maybe we had a baggie. If my mom is listening to this, she will let me know. But a lot of people talked about they had a tin or a baggie where they'd put all their things. And we didn't usually growing up have the number candles. We just had the actual stick candles, the cheap ones. Now with our kids, we kind of do a conglomeration of things. Many times it's like we're doing birthday math because we're getting creative with, we've turned candles around backwards or almost upside down to try to make it work. We haven't lit the upside down ones, but you know, sometimes using a mixture of numbers and stick candles. But yes, we have even glued a number candle back together so that we could reuse it.
Was it glued or was the candle melted?
Well, you tried to melt it first and the melting didn't work. You tried to melt it back together because it had broken. And so then I think I ended up gluing it. I don't think we actually ended up saving that one because we were able to make it work for the one birthday, but then it was not going to work.
Toast.
See what you did there. Anyway, but then there were so many people commenting saying, wait, you can reuse birthday candles? Like, that was such a foreign concept to them that would never cross their mind. And it was so interesting. It led to this whole discussion of some people saying, I would, you know, I love to save money, but I would never save and reuse birthday candles. And then we were talking about, okay, what's that thing that you're frugal, you love to save money, but this is when frugal has jumped the shark or crossed the line. And for me, what are you going to say?
I wouldn't even think about doing it as a, for saving money's purposes, because just because they're so cheap,
It's just more like, why throw out something that was only burning for 27 seconds? It's not like you light your candles in your house and then blow them out and throw them out, you know?
Right.
But anyway, in the context of this meme, because it was like, or were you rich? So we were talking about this, and for me, the first thing that came to mind when it's like, yes, I love saving money. Hello, my website is moneysavingmom.com. I'm the money saving mom on Instagram. Like, this is my jam. But cloth toilet paper or cloth period products or any type of reusable period product, that is to me when frugal has gone too far. Like, there are just some things. Now, we did cloth diaper, and there were a lot of people that then were like, Crystal, if you cloth diaper, that's no different. But I'm like, it is different. It is different. But there are a number of people who follow me online who they use cloth toilet paper, and they have, they're big advocates of using cloth toilet paper. So, you know, more power to you. That is not something we're going to do. But can you think of something? Well, you're not as frugal as me, but like, is there something for you that you're like, I like to save money, but I would never fill in the blank?
Not that I can think off the top of my head.
You're okay with spending money?
Sure. It's a tool.
I'd love to hear from our listeners. How would you answer that question? Like, if you are someone who likes to save money, I would assume that the majority, I mean, is there anyone out there that you're like, no, I actually don't like saving money? Like, is that a thing? Is there a subset of people who don't like saving money? I want to know that too. But also,
I don't think that they would think of it in those terms. You don't think of, yeah, I don't like saving money, so I'm just going to spend a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's more so I like to spend money, thinking of it in the positive as opposed to the negative.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'd love to know, one, is there anyone who actually feels like that? And two,
of course there's people that feel like that in the positive.
No, in the negative. Like, is there anybody who's like, no, I actually don't like saving money? I'm curious. And then secondly, if you could fill in the blank with, I'm frugal or I love saving money, but I will never, what is your, like, when frugal has gone too far?
So, yes. So one thing I just thought of, when did I send you the YouTube or article about the lady that has the, she's no longer alive. I think she died here a few years ago, but she had a YouTube channel that was devoted to recipes about saving money from the Depression.
Okay.
The recipes were from the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And basically how to make more with less and things that they would eat when going through the Great Depression. So I didn't look at the channel, but it really sounded fascinating.
Well, that reminds me of just recently on Instagram, we were talking about peanut butter and jelly, making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And there were some people who wrote in and said, wait, because I was making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for
a
video. And they said, wait, you don't put butter before you put on peanut butter. And I guess that it's a thing that some people put butter, then peanut butter, then jelly. Like, that's how they make their sandwich. And especially in the UK, whenever they have toast or bread, you always put butter on first. No matter what you're going to put on top of that, you're going to put butter as the first layer. So that was really fascinating. But then some people said, well, that actually came from the Great Depression, people who are doing it in the US, because they would have farms and they would have a lot of access to milk and dairy. And so butter was more prevalent than peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would put butter on the sandwiches and then peanut butter, or they'd mix butter with the peanut butter in order to stretch it and still kind of beef it up and give it some nutrition and fat and calories and stuff. So I thought that that was very interesting. Okay, Jesse, speaking of birthday candles, you had a big birthday recently, turned 44. I did a post on Instagram about your birthday, and I was sharing about how you were born at 27 weeks, and just so interesting, you know, that David was also born at 27 weeks, but years later. So I guess it would be 40 years later. You guys are 40 years apart, and how the technology has advanced so much since then. Because when you were born at 27 weeks.
Oh, he was 2020, wasn't he?
Yeah. So when you were born at 27 weeks, 44 years ago, it was, I think you had said that they gave like a 50% chance, or your dad says.
Oh, it was less than that, I think.
Okay. So it was very touch and go for a while. Nowadays, usually if a child is born at 27 weeks, as long as there aren't some major medical things, mm-hmm. like with David, that was not the highest concern. You know, I think from what we understand from his records and everything, it was like the Down syndrome and the cleft lip and palate and being able to eat because of his cleft lip and palate. Mm-hmm. That was the concern, not necessarily he's 27 weeks. And so just interesting how much technology has changed. But as you look back on that, you know, your mom died when you were just turned 13. Did I say that correctly?
No. 12.
Just turned 12.
No. Okay. Yeah, I just turned 12. Yes.
Okay. I knew it was right after your birthday. And so I never got to meet her because your parents were divorced. And so your dad and your stepmom were coming to the church that I was at. So I never mm-hmm. got the chance to meet your mom. I did get to go to her funeral, but I have so many questions that I would have loved to ask her about what it was like when you were born and in the NICU. Do you know how long you were in the NICU for?
I was in there from middle of September to the end of November.
Okay. So not a terribly long time.
Right. It would have been I think I was due first week in December, so it would have been just shy of what the due date was.
And you, as a child, did you have any things that were a result of being born prematurely? Did you have any issues?
I had some lung issues, yeah. I remember having to, and I had pneumonia when I was four, five, something like that. And I remember having to get breathing treatments. And we had some, a little cup that, it's like a little rubberized cup that dad would wear on his hand and kind of beat my lungs with to kind of get all the congestion loose. So,
and then also, I feel like your eyes are very sensitive.
Yeah, they're very sensitive. I don't know if that's because of the premature birth or not.
I thought that we'd kind of figured out at one point that probably was because of that.
So when I had my brain tumor, one of the things that they were worried about was a detached retina, because that is a side effect of premature birth, and that they thought that, well, maybe this, with the symptoms that I was having a detached retina, but it wasn't that. It was obviously the brain tumor. So,
but I don't feel like you've had that many, as you've gotten older, like there haven't been lingering things from. You were very, very small.
I was very small. Always have been small.
Very, very skinny until we got married, and then you gained how many pounds? When we got married, you
128
pounds, mm-hmm. and you are five nine, and so you had like this little pencil neck, and you were very, very thin. Mm-hmm. And then you are no longer 128 pounds.
No.
But you had to work so hard to gain weight. And that was the other thing.
It's very hard for me to gain weight.
I think it's gotten easier as you've gotten older.
Especially since you had babies. I gained weight with you.
But yes, I remember that. It was like, you just could not gain weight. And, mm-hmm. and I think that was all your growing up. Now, I would say Silas is a little bit like that now, where he just, it's like he worked so hard to gain any mm-hmm. weight. So maybe it wasn't fully from being premature, but I do feel like that played into you always being really small. I think
that there was
definitely
a mental aspect of that. Yeah. I would always blame the being premature as the reason for my weight gain issues.
Well, and I think you always struggled with feeling scrawny. Mm-hmm. Like that was the thing. And
I was bullied a lot when I was little.
Mm-hmm. But we posted a picture on Instagram of you. I don't know exactly, like, you were definitely very, very brand newborn, but I don't know if it was like in the first week or 2 weeks. I don't know. Like, I don't know if you were actually 27 weeks in the picture because it doesn't have information, but you were clearly in the NICU, clearly very, very premature still. And so that is on Instagram. So we will link to that in the show notes if people are interested and they want to go see that.
Yeah, pretty sure that the weight when I was born was measured in grams and not kilograms.
It was less than 2 pounds. I know that. I do have that information.
That would be less than a kilogram.
Yeah. It was, I don't remember the exact thing, but I know it was 1 pound something, like maybe 14 ounces. It was something like that.
Just shy. Because a kilo is 2.2.
Okay. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. And I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all 5 of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last 2 biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. So I've never really been somebody who is interested in birds until I had kids. Right now, my 4-year-old and 2-year-old are really into birds. We go on a walk every day and they're always looking for that bird and that bird. Oh, mom, look, there's a red bird and there's a blue bird. And I'm telling them about the birds and we're listening to their different songs and learning the different bird calls. And it's just been so much fun. Well, a way that we are taking it to the next level is with the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. This is such a cool gadget. It offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn more about birds right in your own backyard. It's got a high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder, take photos and videos of birds that visit. And this is the best part for me as someone who still has a lot to learn about birds. You can ID the species using expert trained AI. You can even earn badges along the way, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of different species of birds. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces and even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I thought that was pretty cool. The Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just plain fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. As we're headed into the back to school season, I know many of us parents, we want to make sure that our children are getting the help that they need when it comes to subjects in school, areas maybe that they're struggling in, help with homework, areas that they're excelling in, maybe not getting challenged enough in class. Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. I was first introduced to IXL a few years ago when Silas's math class, his teacher changed to using this. And it was really, the goal of it was so that they could get a better read on where all of the kids in the class were doing and where they needed to be challenged more, where they were struggling. And I loved the real-time feedback. The other thing is that it really challenged Silas because he's someone who's kind of independently motivated and he loved love that he could work ahead and work at his own pace. And he wanted to see those stats and see the results. And he ended up being able to then move up in math to a different level because he was so motivated and they saw that he was really doing well based upon his stats from IXL. So I'm really grateful for IXL because it just helped him to be able to be more challenged when it came to math. This program will improve your kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It also will work for any of your kids. There are advanced algorithms that power it, so IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Also, one subscription to IXL gets you everything. So if you have kids different ages in your home, pre-K to 12th grade, IXL covers it all. Also, it can save you money because instead of hiring a tutor, you might be able to just use IXL, and a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the US are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the US. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And my podcast listeners of the Crystal Payne Show, can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. So visit IXL.com today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Well, speaking of health things, last episode we talked about Inside Tracker and we talked about our personal experiences and what we learned from that. And someone wrote in with a suggestion for you, Jesse, because they said that we were talking about how you needed to up your vitamin D. She said, I just listened to the podcast. I'm not sure if they also told Jesse to take K2, but he needs to do that to absorb the vitamin D. I was deficient and the doctor never told me that. Hmm. Did you know that?
No.
Is that vitamin K2?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's something to add to your research list. Mm-hmm. And then another woman wrote in and she is currently pregnant and she is really, really low on iron. I was going to see if I could pull up her message here because she was asking what I was doing for my anemia. And she said that her levels were, okay, let me just read this. She said, I just listened to the podcast and I'd love if you could share ways you're working to increase your iron. I have super low iron right now, and I'm also 35 weeks pregnant, so I'm eating all the lentils and nuts and trying to eat red meat and take supplements. And I kind of messaged back and forth with her, but for other people who are wondering, in pregnancy, we've tried a lot of different things, and I had figured out that the Slofee iron, a double dose of Slofee iron with orange juice, plus red meat. Like, that was my ticket. I tried all of the natural supplements. I tried all of the non-natural supplements. Like, I tried everything because my iron got down to 7 at one point for my hemoglobin. And then my platelet count was down below 50. I just get really anemic. And so those are the two things, like starting early. Obviously I always recommend that you're doing this under the care of a doctor and stuff, mm-hmm. but if they're just like, take an iron supplement, the one that I found to be the best, that also kind of is the best on your stomach, because iron supplements can be really hard on your digestion, is the Slofee. And if you take it with vitamin C, like orange juice, that helps it absorb better. And then also just straight up red meat. And so the thing that I've been doing is one of the things we talked about was beans. And so I've been trying to eat I actually had all these canned beans. And so I'm just like eating a third of a can every day and just rotating which kind of bean I'm eating. And then trying to have red meat of some kind every day. And I know, like Jesse, you and I talked about, it said lean red meat was the highest encouragement. But at this point, it's like, I'm just any red meat.
Yeah. No, they were equal.
Okay. Well, any red meat right now, we're calling it a win, mm-hmm. because like I talked about last time, I realized I hardly ever eat red meat. So working on that, and it is a challenge for me, and I'm having to like really think about it and prep and plan ahead and change the things that we cook because we don't usually cook with a lot of red meat. And so kind of changing that. And now I want to get like a fourth of a cow or a half of a cow, which you're so excited about because you've been wanting to do this for years. But there's a reason that we have not done it for years. And that is because...
No, we did it one time.
We did it one time. I don't think we've ever shared the story on the podcast. We were so excited. This was back... Oh, we probably... I was pregnant.
With Caitlin?
I was either pregnant with Caitlin or with Silas. I don't know which one. I'm trying to remember because I know
I think it was Silas.
We lived in Kansas City. So I don't know if we were moving really soon. That would have been Silas. Anyway... Mm-hmm. So it was some special tax refund thing that it was called something. And I can't even remember that year that they were doing something. And I think it was like $642. And so that was.
Where in the world did you come up with that number?
Okay. I remember numbers like this. Okay. And that was a huge sum of money for us at that point in our life that we were just going to get like this. I don't even remember what it was called.
Some kind of a tax credit.
And so we were like, we've been wanting to get meat from a local farm, but we didn't have a deep freeze. So we found a deep freeze off of...
Craigslist.
I think it was Craigslist. We hardly spent any money on it. It was super cheap. And then...
Was it Craigslist? Or no, they didn't have Penny Power up there. They had something else, right?
It was, I think it was Craigslist. It was a very used old freezer, but it was a deep freeze. And so we got that. I don't know. It was probably like $50 or something that we spent for it. And then the rest of the money we spent to buy, I think it was a quarter of a cow. And we got most of it in ground beef. We were so excited. Like this was the first time in our entire marriage. Like this was a big deal. This was so much. I mean, because our grocery budget at that point was $40 a week. So think about... how much money that was in comparison to what we spent on groceries. And so it was a very big deal. We bought this, we got it all in the freezer, and we didn't have much else in the freezer at that point because, I mean, it's brand new. So I think we had some cheese and some other things, but it was very minimal, just the meat mostly.
We got it in July.
So we got it right before we left on this trip. I think it was a 14-day trip or something. We were going with our family. Maybe it was 12 days. I don't know. But we were driving and we were going to, I think both of our families were doing things where they were paying for us to go on these trips and they worked it back to back or something. So it was like this great vacation, but all we were paying for was our gas basically to get there. And so we went on this vacation and we came back home. And mind you, I'm pregnant. I'm in my first trimester of pregnancy. I am really sick to my stomach all the time. Walk into the garage, smell the smell, and it's July, super roasting hot. Smell this putrid smell. And I'm like, Jesse, something like died in our garage. Go investigate. Like, I can't even go out there. It stinks so badly. Like, I can still smell the wafting smell. It was so bad.
Are you going to throw up?
Oh, man. Our breaker, we had this. You explain what happened because you're more technical than me.
We had a GFI trip.
And it was on the back of the house and it had like a little cover over it or something.
So the outlet that was in the garage was tied to the GFI that was in the back. And it had a plastic cover over the outlet in the backyard because of the elements, but it was kind of cracked. It was not, the seal was not very good. And while we were gone, I was actually, for some reason, paying attention to the weather back where we lived, and there was a really bad rainstorm and windstorm.
Our electricity had gone off too, I think, because when we came back, I think it was like our microwave and stuff. Yeah.
Blinking and stuff. So it was driving rain, and the rain blew into the outlet cover, and it caused the GFI to trip.
Yeah. And that happened pretty early on our vacation. So the freezer stopped working And we didn't know that it was even a possibility because we'd never plugged something into our garage.
We didn't know that those were tied together.
Yeah, we didn't know that. And so, you know, it was, we just got in the deep freeze. And so we came back home and all of the meat had thawed and there was at least 2 inches of blood in the bottom of the freezer. It was horrible. And it had been sitting there in the heat. Here was the problem. The problem was, what do you do with that? Because it's not like you can just go dump a quarter of a cow in your trash barrel for the trash men to pick up because it would have filled. I mean, there was no way. It was a mess. And so we didn't know what to do. You ended up, I couldn't even go out in the garage. It stunk so bad. I couldn't touch it. I couldn't mess with it. We were just grateful that we hadn't put a lot of other things in the freezer too. But that was our $642 of.
We refroze it.
So we ended up, yes, refroze it. And then including in all the blood, it was so awful. So then the blood was frozen. And then every week you'd like chop out a block of it and put it in trash bags.
Double bag it.
Stick it into the garbage until it was all done. And then we had this awful smelling freezer to deal with that we're like, we don't want to have it. Like, I was like, I can't have this in my house. It just makes me nauseous to know that's out in my garage. So you took it out on the driveway, sprayed it down.
I spent so much time trying to
clean
it.
Baking soda, baking, and like it, the smell would not go away. So finally we put it on FreeCycle and we literally said, like, we had a fourth of a cow that got completely, like, the freezer stinks. Like, I mean, we really did not sell this thing, but we're like, if anybody wants it, you can come pick it up. It's on our driveway. I think it was picked up within 10 minutes. Do you remember that?
Wow.
And we had multiple people come after, like we had to go put on the post really quickly, like already taken, because I think we had 3 more people drive up within 30 minutes to go get this stinky freezer. I'm like, but anyway, so all that to say, we have not bought a quarter cow or half a cow or invested in extra meat ever since then because I've been freaked out about it. But because of these Inside Tracker results, maybe we're just going to break down and do it. I promised to tell you all about this book that I just got at the library that I've been waiting for months to read. It is The Women by Kristen Hannah. I took Kirsten to the library. We have this every other Friday thing we've been doing where we go to the library after preschool pickup. She loves it. And they have this section at the library. It's called like the lucky section or something. I don't know exactly. But it's that it's hot titles, like new best-selling titles. Well, this book is not actually that new, but
that are available.
Yes. So you can only check them out for 2 weeks and you can only get one at a time. So there's all these rules around it. And you can only check it out, I found, on an adult card, not because I usually use like Silas's card because that's just what I have. And so I had to dig in my wallet and I had your card, gratefully. Oh, and so they had to reinstate it, but I was able to get. So I'm really excited because this book has come highly, highly, highly recommended to me. I have, listen to multiple other books by Kristen Hannah, and so many people, there have been a few people that said they didn't like this one, but I mean, hundreds of people have told me that this is one of the best books they've ever read. So I have 2 weeks to read it. So let's hope I can do that. But I think I'm going to be able to, because another book that I'm reading, I mentioned it last week, is called The Unplugged Hours, and it's by Hannah Brencher, and it's all about challenging yourself to be unplugged for 1,000 hours over the course of a year. Kind of reminds me of the 1,000 hours outside Jenny Urich challenge. This is the 1,000 hours unplugged challenge, which those two could kind of overlap really well. But I think that my birthday is coming up and I'm thinking that I'm going to start the challenge for my birthday to see if I can do it for in that year timeframe.
Thank you for the reminder.
My birthday's coming up. Hint, hint. Should I text you my birthday list? No, actually, I don't have one. But I guess you could buy me a fourth of a cow for my birthday. I don't need another. I guess we would maybe need another deep freeze. Anyway, so this book has been so good. It's really challenged me because I have gotten kind of sucked into checking my phone a lot. She was talking about how I think I'm not sure the exact number, but it was something like the average American adult picks up their phone 342 times a day, which sounds like this crazy exorbitant number. But when you start paying attention, like you pick up your phone to check what time is it? You pick up your phone to send that text. You pick up your phone to see, you know, what the weather is. Like you're just constantly all day long picking it up and checking it. And then it's so easy to just check one thing. And then pretty soon you're looking at something else. And pretty soon 25 minutes have passed. And I really realize I love following politics. I've talked about that on here. I follow a lot of different places, and which is, I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with that, but I feel like it's one of those things, especially right now in the political climate that we're in. It's never like you never scroll to the bottom. You're like, no more political news.
There is no bottom.
And so you can just get sucked into always consuming more information. I feel like I've just been doing that. I've kind of been staying up too late, looking at stuff like that. And then I have trouble getting my body to wind down and go to sleep, like my Oura Ring has been telling me. And so I am really grateful for this book by Hannah Brencher to just challenge me to be completely offline. And the thing that I'm noticing, so I'm challenging myself 3 hours a day, putting my phone away. It's not necessarily turning your phone off, but just putting your phone away. And there's something about it. It's like your brain can breathe. Mm-hmm. And so I am challenging myself to see if 1 hour before I go to bed every night, if instead of that being me, quote, winding down by scrolling on my phone, can be winding down by taking a bath and reading. So I'm hoping that then I'm going to be able to get through like the women in 2 weeks instead of maybe it would have taken me 3 months at the rate I was going. And so I did an IG live with her this week that I wish we could clip some parts for the podcast, but we will link to it in the show notes. It's really worth listening to. We talk about us personally and just the importance and how we can put so much value in what is on our phone. And really there's so much, it's like kind of lying and cheating to us with what, like the dopamine that we get from our phone is not something that's really fulfilling. And we're trying to out, you know, like for me, I know I was just telling you this morning, like, I feel like sometimes me following politics is in a bit like my drug of choice that I'm numbing out from some things in my life that I need to actually be addressing. And so we all can do it. And it's so easy to do with our phone and we can justify it. You know what I mean? Like it's not like, well, I'm not turning to alcohol or drugs or, you know, something that's super detrimental, but it's like, actually the research shows that it can be so detrimental to us. And so anyway, I would just highly recommend this book. I'm not completely finished with it, but it's been so good. And I loved the IG live that we did. We also talked about kids and screens and how we model for our kids and what it really means to be unplugged and how that's going to look different for everyone. It's not necessarily the same prescriptive sort of thing. And this is a challenge to really bring more life to you, not to suck the life out of you. And, and so I'm excited to be starting this journey. I'm kind of, I feel like I'm dipping my toe in the water right now of knowing, okay, my birthday's coming up. I'm going to just kind of be practicing a little bit before we actually get there so that I can get into the rhythm of doing that. So my goal is in the morning, having some unplugged time before I get, you know, kind of first thing in the morning, which I had already been doing, but then having some unplugged time in the middle of the day and then at the end of the day. So kind of having these place markers in my day, I think is going to be really, really good for me. And I need everybody to keep me accountable. So thank you so much for joining us today. We'd love to hear your feedback as always. Have you bought a quarter of a cow that got completely ruined? We'd love to hear your story. I have yet to know of anybody else that that's ever happened to, but I'm sure we can't be the only ones.
Oh, yes.
Or maybe just a freezer that the GFI tripped and you lost all your stuff. Come commiserate with us. And then also, fill in the blank. I love saving money, but I would never want to hear about that. I also want to know, what books are you reading? Have you read The Women? What did you think of it? And how do you feel about the idea of unplugging? Let us know. Send an email to crystal@moneysavingmom.com. As always, we'd love to hear from you. We'll be back next week when we have an interview with someone that I recently finished her book, and I can't wait to share more about it and to talk to her about what it looks like to fall in love more with the life that you have right in front of you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.